Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the screen.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland's Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Ms. Francis, can you hear me okay now?
No, I can't.
Okay, well, we're going to introduce you, and I'll see if this thing will work like this. I'll turn my mic off. I'll leave my thing off. Okay, Ms. Francis, this is Vivian Louise Sharp, and we are talking on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm glad to meet you, and thank you so much for coming. One thing I would like to ask you, since we have sort of a technical difficulty here, would you give me the title of your two books, and when did you begin writing?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Francis?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Give me the title of your books, and when did you first start writing? The one that we're going to talk about first.
Okay, the title, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry, to audience, for this technical difficulty. Okay, Ms. Francis, do you?
The title of my book is called The Silent Prophecy, The Epic of Claire St. Clair, Book 1. It's one of three. It's going to be a trilogy. I started writing way back in elementary school, and I've been writing poems and short stories my entire life, but this is my first novel.
Bless you. That's exciting. How did you do that? Did you start in school or just started writing in
books? No, I didn't. I started when I had young children. This first book took me 12 years to write. My husband traveled a lot, so I was home. I was a single mom a lot of the time. And I just wrote when I could. And the second book is already done, so people aren't going to have to wait 12 years for the second book.
the second book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. The Silent Prophecy is about a young woman. She's in her 30s. She has a slight deformation in her back. She has extra bones along her spine. And she grew up in a very rich family where her mom went crazy. And her father was just belligerent and blamed the main character, whose name is Claire, blamed Claire for her mother going crazy. Because at one point in the book, he tells her she was never like this until you came along. And Claire gets thrown into a world of Nephilim and angels and demons. And if you've never heard the term Nephilim, it comes from Genesis chapter 6 in the Bible, where the sons of God came to the daughters of women and had children by them, and they were called Nephilim.
Oh.
And that just spikes. I'm so mythology, all mythology just intrigues me. I'm not saying that the Bible is mythology. That's not what I'm trying to get across, but just the different stories that come out of them. And that was one that just stuck with me. And I was like, so there's like half angels, half humans that could be walking around, and I could turn a story into this. This is intriguing. And I incorporated demons and angels and fallen angels and it's just steeped in a lot of mythology and lore, fiction, and love, and there's a love story, and there's a lot of twists and turns of a book that you don't expect.
Right, and I think that's wonderful. Creativity is a very beautiful thing to have in the world that we do this world today. And I think the world speaks to us, the earth, the creator, through our writings. I have
interested in your travels when you were younger. In Nashville, Tennessee, you said you lived there?
I lived there, but I was born in Minnesota. I lived in Minnesota up until about 2003.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, good, good. Now let me hear about the cannabis.
The what?
Do you have the book? Is your book the one about cannabis?
No.
No, okay, well, I've got the wrong name here. All right. Let me ask you one more thing. You have three books coming up, two books, one, number two. I don't have the information about that. That's why I'm asking you so many questions that I should have. I don't have that. So tell me a little bit about number two.
Sure. Well, book two is going to be named Pandora, and it's the Epic of Claire St. Clair, book two. And it kind of goes back and forth between telling the story of the origins of the universe, the archangels, and one of the characters in my story is named Magno, and he's the devil, but I didn't want to use Lucifer or the devil because that was so overused that I named him Magno Deceiviat, which is Latin for the great deceiver.
Yes.
And it goes to tell the background story of what happened in heaven before the war in heaven. And it goes back and forth between that and what's going on with Claire and her new friends and what she's going to do. And it just moves forward from there. I don't want to give out too much because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the basis. It goes back and forth and then ends with another cliffhanger. I ended my first book on a cliffhanger. And so, yeah, so I felt the need to end my second book on a cliffhanger as well.
Right. And I want to know for the people, what do you do? Do you write every day or what is your routine?
I write every day. I sit down for a few hours in the morning when no one's awake yet, and I write. And then I'll get some time to usually write at night when everybody's kind of calmed down and doing their own thing. I don't know how to not write. Even when I get writer's block, I just keep writing. I can't stop. It's almost like an addiction for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful addiction.
Yeah.
And number three, which is coming up, we'll talk about that if you want to, or would you rather wait to discuss some more about
I'd like to wait a little
have?
Bit on that one because I'm still working on it. I'm on my real rough draft. I'm only halfway through, and it's real rough right now. So I'm trying to smooth it out and continue the flow of the story.
Are you planning any book tours that we can talk about?
I will be in Cleveland, Ohio, June 2nd, I believe, and I will be doing a speaker and book signing convention there. And my marketer, Myron Grace, is setting me up.
June 10th, you'll be in Cleveland, Ohio.
June 10th.
Wonderful.
Okay. And, he's trying to set me up with more stuff. I've done a couple more podcasts. I have a couple more that I signed up for before Myron and I hooked up that I've got set for next week. But I've been mainly doing podcasts right now.
Oh, wonderful. That's a new opportunity for a lot of people. I think it's a great thing to have. Now, let's talk about your, I know you have a website and all that little information. How do they best find you, Amazon, or how do people best find your books to buy?
They can go to Amazon.com. They can go to BooksAMillion.com. They can go to BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
I'm on all their websites. You can only order online right now. They don't have any paperbacks in the stores yet. Mm-hmm. I'm also, you can also, if you go to my website, SabineFrances.com, there's a link there that you can click and order the book.
Wonderful. This is wonderful. And all
fifth grade, yeah.
Fifth grade, bless your heart. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
I'm sorry, say, you broke up again. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm too close. Is there anything that you would like to discuss that we haven't talked about?
My inspiration for writing comes from a place that I can't name. It just is inside me. I just have a desire to write. And I would love to be a person or a face for those other writers who may struggle or may have the same passion. And, well, not, I think all writers have passion because they're attempting to write. But if I could be a face that can bring forth more inspiration. I had a tough childhood. I've recovered from drugs and alcohol. I have been, I deal with mental illness. But the images in my book, because I do deal with some mental illness in the book because her mom goes crazy. And I deal with that. And writing has been my refuge. And the images in my book that I will put in people's minds stay with you. So much of the feedback I've gotten from people who have read it is like, I couldn't put it down. And when I did have to put it down, I was thinking about it while I was doing my other stuff, wanting to get back to it to see what happens next. And that was such a great compliment. And I got it from more than one person.
My goodness. Well, that will be as an inspiration. You will never run out of that because that's your, like you say, it is your passion, but it's also your purpose, I would say. And you were born for a reason, you know? And that may be the reason to help get that out to the world.
That's what I want, yes.
Now, is there any other purpose that you have that you would like to talk about other than writing that may be trying to get into your mix?
I don't know. I kind of breezed over what I've been through. And if I can help other people in ways other than writing even, that is something that I look forward to doing, is to reach people who need help. And it's very important to me. I was first institutionalized when I was 14 and have struggled with depression. And like I said, writing has been my refuge and my way out of the dark places that I went to. I really got off course there for a while.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you letting me know about some of those things. I've experienced a few things that you have experienced, but we're talking about you now, and I sort of understand it better when I can talk to someone who has experienced some of the same situations that I have experienced. People are like that, and you're listening, I'm sure. They appreciate what you're telling them because it's like they're not alone, you know? So you are helping people. You're helping people.
I want to. That's my goal. And reading can be a great escape from some things, too, not just writing. Reading anything, even if it's a technical manual. Whatever can help get you out of your head and help you refocus on what you're doing, I really want my book to do that for people and keep them guessing and moving forward. And while reading it, because there's so many twists and turns in it that are surprising. And it's really exciting for me to hear when people are like, oh my gosh, I did not expect that to happen. I was so surprised. I enjoyed doing that. But I can say killing off characters is very difficult.
Yes.
Yes, I had to kill off one of my characters in my book. And I won't say who, of course, but when I did it, I was like, oh, I feel so bad.
That's probably a real feeling of all people who do that.
Yeah.
But you can feel things that you write about, because words have power. And words can come alive in your emotions. And that's a good thing. It can be a good thing. Okay, I always like to ask the people that I talk to, this is interesting because Oprah Winfrey must have an interesting life like I do with talking to people. But the thing that I would like to ask you is something that's not even about the book. What is your favorite? Your favorite, probably writing, I guess, because it was first.
Well, I think my favorite writing is the suspenseful action parts, and I do like writing some of the love story. It's difficult because you don't want to come across too corny. I wrote the relationship between, and it's on the synopsis, so I'm not giving anything away, Claire and Xavier. He's a lawyer and he is her fiance, but things start to get dicey and confusing for her when this mysterious man, Michael, shows up into her life. And I think the passion that comes from it is just from within. I don't really struggle with my characters. There's a piece of myself in each character. And then there's a couple characters that I've written that I don't even know, I don't even relate to them to someone in my life. They just kind of wrote themselves.
That's interesting terminology. They wrote themselves.
Yeah, really did. I said, it took me 12 years to write the first book. I never gave up. And don't stop. Don't think you're too old. Don't think you're too young. You are perfect the way you are, and you need to write what comes to you in your heart, in your head, and put it together and get it down on paper. And my biggest word of advice is, if you're laying in bed and you have this great idea all of a sudden off the top of your head and you think you're going to remember it the next day, I promise you, you will not. So wake yourself up and write that idea down so you have it for the next time you sit down to write.
I think that would be wonderful. And I think also that if you put that in the front of your book as your introduction, I believe if they read the introduction, they will be impressed and do what you say. And you will be making an image
so.
The word. Yes. Yeah, add that, because that's very good. I have a project that I'm doing, and I won't take up much time to tell you about it, but it's called Don't Wait to Be Discovered. Discover Yourself. And I have a streaming app. So what you just said is similar to what So don't give up and don't stop. And let's see, we got about 10:19. I would like for you to tell me something that would be something that no one knows, but that you can say. Something that would be interesting about you, about your personality, or about something that you've experienced, that you've been experienced.
I'm kind of an introvert. I don't really spend a lot of time in the outside world. I really am more of a recluse. And it's not that I don't like people. I adore people.
Right.
can get real exhausted, though, real fast, being around people for too long, because it's so much work and energy to do that. And I come across, it's very odd, because I come across to a lot of people as an extrovert, because I can talk and I can do and play and do whatever. But I'm really more just kind of a I mean, I have my husband and my kids, but I'm kind of just on my own out here doing my own thing, and I'm happy as snug as a bug in a rug.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of something else. Our time is running out. I wanted to know if there's anything you'd like to say that we haven't talked about at the very end here. Anything that come to you along the way?
No, I think we covered good ground. I want people to know me. I want people to know my story. That's what kept pressing me to write it, was this constant voice in my head that even when I didn't feel like writing said, you sit down and write this book. This book needs to get out into the world. This story needs to be told. And I don't know where that voice came from, but it would not let up and has not let up writing my second book and working on my third book. It's just this constant need to finish this story and get this story out there for people to read.
Fantastic. Your publisher is who?
It's published through Amazon.com right now. Ingram Spark is the book. They do the books. And then Amazon.com does the books and the Kindle read. If you have Kindle Unlimited, you can download the book for free. But if you just have regular Kindle, it's $4.99. And if you want the paperback, it's $16.99. And I'm old school. I like to have the book in my hand. I like turning the pages. I like the feeling of the book and all of that. So I'm kind of old school. If I look at a screen for too long, I just kind of glaze over.
Okay. Well, you have a very interesting, introvert. Extrovert.
Yeah.
I don't know what I am. I'm still growing up.
Yeah.
I'm older than you, of course, but I have, when you didn't know which one to do first, maybe when you were writing.
No, besides raising my kids, I really didn't have. I used to paint years ago, but that turned into writing. I have a very musical family, and I myself adore music, but I can't play it. I can't play an instrument, and I can't sing for anything. And I felt very awkward growing up because I had this musical family who could do all this stuff, and I was just there with my notebook and my pen, and I just wrote. And it was just very different.
That's good, because you experienced your talent, and they're still creative. It's still in the creative genre.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing you here in Cleveland on June the 10th, if that's the right date that we have for Mr. Grace. And
yes.
Let's give them one more time. Is there any other way to reach you other than through the books that you would want to be reached? Not through your email, not through anything like that. The website.
My email is SaphreneFrancis@gmail.com.
Okay.
And my website is SaphreneFrancis.com. And I should have a link to my email address on there in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
I have my Facebook, which is under Saphine Francis. They can friend me there. And those are my outlets right now. I haven't done Instagram. That is a lot to do. There's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, and writing your books. Okay. Well, thank you so very much for coming with us today. And we have been speaking to Miss Frances, Saphine Francis, and she has several books, 3, 2, and 1. And you do want to listen to what she has to say, because when the universe gives you something to say, you have to put it out there. Otherwise, it won't get done, because it's dependent on you to do your creation, your creativity, the Creator gave to you. So, Ms. Francis, we appreciate you coming and being with us. If you want to stay with
Thank
us until
come
home, you're welcome. If you want to stay on and hear the other people, you're welcome for me.
Okay.
We may have some discussion. If we have a little time left over, we'll have a question to ask one of them. Mr. Grace, Mr. Grace, take it away, and if there's another person in there.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Mr. Jim Price. Yes, it is. Hi, how are you today? How are you doing? I'm doing fine. Is my phone working okay now?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. I read a little bit about your publications that you have about the young man and the young lady from the hood. I've got my cell phone that I'm using, and I've got all my notes in my cell phone, so I can't see it. So you're going to have to help me out. I'll ask you the questions, but you're going to have to help me with the book titles and a little bit about the book, about your publication. Is that okay?
Yes, that's totally okay.
Okay. All right, number one, I always have the questions lined up. What and when did you begin writing, and then we'll get to your publications? When, what age?
When I began writing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I began writing before July of 2021. It took me a little bit of time to get everything. I used to do social skill lessons with the kids, and that they have behavioral problems and things like that. So that was back in 2013, something like that. So I used to have to do these social skill lessons with kids. That had behavioral problems. They were elementary and middle school. So when I would do those lessons, sometimes the kids would have trouble focusing on those things when I'm doing the social lessons. So I decided to get some backup, and I brought a snail puppet to the sessions. And included the snail puppet in my lessons as far as trying to teach model social appropriate behavior and things of that nature. So the kids loved it. I named the snail puppet Hero from the Hood, and the kids loved it. They would listen to the social lesson. It made it so much easier for me to get through my material. And then from there, now 2021, I got an opportunity to connect with a publisher, some publishing companies, and pitched the idea about turning Harold from the Hood into a social skills series. And then after a meeting, I was like told, hey, we'll work with you. And it's been on since then.
Well, bless your heart. That's so interesting. Story, because I was listening to my mind while you were talking, and it kept telling me, say, there are many ways, I think it's 7 or 11 ways to learn, and you have selected one of the ways to learn by visualizing, visual, connection. You probably know what I'm talking about. I don't have to go through all that, but I'm glad that you did do what you did, because adults can learn that same way, too. When you're in college. And the reason I asked you when did you begin, I wanted to know when you started your purpose. And the books are about things that the children understand, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I see.
What is the, let's see, which one did you write first? I couldn't remember. The one about the snail or the one about the little girl?
No, all my characters are the snail. So my first book, it was called Adventures of Harold from the Hood, A Trip to the Park, which was about the social skill lesson was about accepting other differences in that title. The second book was The Adventures of Harold from the Hood, Friends Like Different Things, which was based on the idea of having kids understand that there's a lot of activities that they can do outside of being connected to technology, iPads, cell phones, whatever else, their Apple Watches and all this other stuff that the kids be into today. So that book was basically focused on friends like different things. Adventures of Harold from the Hood, Friends Like Different Things, was based on the idea of having kids recognize that there's a lot of activities that you can do outside of looking at your iPad all the time. So that's also been very much appreciated, or I guess in some sense, or, you know, like it seemed like it's really connected with a lot of families and things like that, because, you know, I mean, the social skills book series has been getting support all across the U.S., in places in the U.K. and also in Australia as well. So, I mean, it's just all such a blessing to be able to bring these social skill lessons to a lot of the kids and have families appreciate the lessons that I try to incorporate into my children's books, you know?
What was your favorite teacher? I mean, I'm wondering if something rubbed off on you.
My favorite teacher was Miss Sally, first grade. She used to do these social skill lessons with us and have us all sit Indian style in front of her. And she would get into the lesson. Of course, she would ask questions. And I was always adamant about asking questions and being like, okay, well, I'm going to answer this and answer that, you know?
Yeah.
But I do remember her vividly. She was first grade teacher. I'm up in age now, so, but I still remember how she would have us do and how, you know, some of the lessons that she would work on us in terms of social skill things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I went to a country school in my hometown of Tennessee, and I had a teacher, a one-room school, kind of like the one teacher you're talking about. But I had a teacher that was called Miss Goode, G-O-O-D-E. And Miss Sally was the name of the lady that I played a part in the eighth grade. And Miss Goode was my Miss Sally. Like, it was Sally in our alley. It's a play. And that brought back some memories to me right there. I want to ask you about discovering your natural gift. Do you think this is one of your gifts? Do you have more that you would like to get off the ground? Besides writing the type books and teaching young people, have you ever thought about older people, teaching all ages? Have you ever thought about that?
So my background, I am a counselor for kids in the public school system. But before I actually got into the public school system, I was actually a therapist that worked with adults. You know, so I have to go through the patients of coming up with diagnosis, things of that nature, and, you know, dealing with insurance companies in terms of, like, it's crazy because a lot of times certain diagnoses, you get, more insurance money for a certain diagnosis. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, agencies will push for certain diagnoses, even though I might feel like, oh, okay, well, I know it's this. But because the insurance company might pay more money for a different diagnosis, of course, your supervisor might say, hey, you know what, think about this diagnosis. Because, of course, you know, they're going to be paid more money by the insurance company if they have that versus a certain disorder. So I have that background as well, which helped to streamline my experience within the public school system. But I think having that background really helped to me, like, to shape a lot of the you know, the way I approach things now in terms of students, you know, when you're in public school systems, we're not able to, you know, like we have a certain level of being able to help students, but sometimes some of the problems are outside the scope of what our license is actually for. So, I mean, at least within our school system, like in the school I work at, we do have the luxury of having like an in-house outside agency that have therapists and psychotherapists that we can refer students to that have a higher level of need outside of the scope of what I'm capable or, you know, my coworkers are capable of providing in that sense, you know? So.
Right. You sound very interesting as a personality, and that is something I'd like to ask you about. Mantra is don't wait to be discovered, discover yourself. And so you have that kind of personality with your children and with your adults, that you have background experience. What is your title? What would you call yourself?
I'm a doctoral candidate as well. So right now I'm probably, I'm over halfway done. I probably got a little bit of time before I finish my doctorate in education. But primarily, I got my license by the state. I'm professional licensed and all that stuff. So, right now, at least in terms of the bigger picture of everything, I am in a position where, of course, I do the counseling thing now, but I definitely have the opportunity to be able to move up into different positions and do some good work there too as well, which, I figured by the time I finish my doctorate program, they always say a lot of doors open up. So I just been kind of just streamlining myself to be in the purpose of where I'm supposed to be right now. You know what I mean? I feel like for now, I'm in my purpose. I'm standing in my purpose of where I'm supposed to be right now. And I live in that, and I embrace that idea of being able to help students who, you think like a lot of the kids, they deal with a lot of traumas in their lives, and they, have a lot of things in terms of, like a lot of the big things in terms of today is like body shaming and things of that nature, low self-esteem. So, I'm all in the midst of a lot of that stuff in terms of kids who are just kids,
Right.
And, Did you, as a
young student, some people do have idiosyncrasies, like I had a nervous breakdown when I was a younger person, but it was mainly because of another person that I was worrying about. What would you say for that? Some personality like that is so sensitive that they worry about other people sometimes, and it caused me a breakdown. But it was a very short time, and I got out of it. But the only thing that I can say about that is I was scared to be in the hospital. Because I wasn't, what did you say, crazy yet? But I was afraid of people there. Yes, I was afraid, Because at night they lock you in with your roommate. You know what goes through the other person's mind, Do you have anything that you would like to share that you can tell a person about what I just described to you about worrying about other people? What would you say to me?
A lot of times, as a counselor in the public school systems, we can always work on trying to uplift and build those aspects of self-worth and lack of confidence and things of that nature. But like I said, sometimes it's just outside the scope of what we can provide. And a lot of situations like that, what ends up happening is they'll be sent to maybe some place where they can be evaluated and assessed. And then in some situations, depending on what the behaviors are and what the extreme level of need is, some of the kids, they actually just connect them with like agencies where they'll be like in a residential program where they're able to try to have more direct care. You know what I mean? Because in some situations, especially in schools when you have so many students, like it's not always feasible to be able to think like we could just have complete eyes on every child all through the school day. You know what I mean? Especially if you have kids that are self-harming and things like that and doing things that are detrimental to themselves and things like that. This is not feasible to think that, kids, they're roaming the halls, they're doing whatever, they're going to the bathroom. Like, this is, so in situations like that, a lot of times, we make treatment plans or plans in coordination with outside agencies or whoever is interacting with that student to try to come up with a plan to try to have them be successful in the public school environment. But a lot of times when it's very, very extreme, they will say themselves hey, I think they just need a higher level of care than what the school system can provide. And in that case, most time they'll have them connected with like a residential program that could monitor them more carefully and, you know, just engaging them and try to work on whatever deep-seated issues that that student is dealing with, you know?
Right. Do you feel that we're being good, not good, appropriate for the children of today? Are we helping them with their lifestyle, do you think? Because it goes pretty fast nowadays, and there's a lot of things they have to worry about. What do you feel the school system is doing to help that in a positive sense, what you're doing? Should there be more of it, or is it going along pretty good, do you feel?
I think, anytime you can have more support in any capacity is always a good thing. I think the thing that has changed the dynamic of everything that happens today is social media. Social media has changed the dynamic of everything that's happened in terms of students. Like, so now, I mean, we could solve things within the school system, but then they go home, and then their students going back and forth on social media, which we don't know about, and, causing conflict and mayhem and all these other things, and then they all of a sudden are coming back to school. And, of course, you know, we don't know how all their interactions are going on social media, and, and then it just causes another whole layer of issues and concerns in terms of those students navigating their day and trying to get through their day without any kind of problems and issues and things like that. So I think, as a counselor, from my perspective, you do the best you can, and we always do the best we can to try to support kids and support students in terms of turmoil that they may be facing in terms of peers, interaction, things like that. But I mean, that is another elephant in the room, like the social media component, like there's no oversight on that. When the kids leave the building, they're on their cell phones, they're messaging, texting, whatever they are, all these little social media platforms. Some of it could definitely be considered like bullying aspects. But if those students do not step forward and say, hey, this is what happened, and I feel I was being, making me feel like I'm bullied, then there's we have our hands tied. There's no, because there's nothing to go on, And
right,
a lot of kids
right.
do that. Yeah.
What would you like to say to the world, your word of wisdom to the world, on your mind right now or in the past, what would you like to offer to a young person listening or someone like myself, like you? From your advice, or just
I would always say, I always tell my students, though they're young, I mean, you got a lot of life to live, and it's okay to make mistakes because you learn from your mistakes, and those mistakes, in some instances, can help you develop and grow into a stronger person. And making good choices is always important because, the revocations or the choice you make can always dictate how things will be in your future. And I also always tell them that, be careful of how you treat people because you never know who you're talking to and how maybe those people that you're ridiculing or whatever acting bad could, influence and help you later. I always use the example of buddies. When I was in middle school, Nick, I forget his last name now, but he was a little quirky guy, but he was cool. And sometimes some of the other kids would pick on him. I was playing basketball back then, so a lot of us would stick up for him and say, hey, cut it out. So don't be picking on him. So now, today, he's like the CEO of a big insurance company. Like he's big guy on campus. And so not long ago, I had reconnected with him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. Oh, yeah. He's like, anything I can do to help you, you just let me know. Like anything, if you could, whatever, any way I can help you. I was like, cool. But what if I would have been cruel to him back then?
That's
what I mean? Like, what if I would have treated him a certain way? And now he's CEO of this big insurance company, and he links up with me. What are the odds of him would have helped me with anything? You know what I mean?
Right. So you never know who you're talking to. You never know. Go ahead.
Oh, I do teach the students those. I think those are all life lessons that all students can learn from, and hopefully it can make them make better choices in terms of their interactions with their peers and things, too.
Okay. We're just about to end up with your thing I'd like to ask is, Ms. Francis, are you still there? I wondered if she was had a mute on. I wondered if she wanted to ask you a question. She was our first interview. Okay. I'm going to give you the opportunity to end, stay with us if you like, and listen to the other authors. We have one more scheduled. I don't know if she's going to make it or not. Well, Mr. Price, it's been very interesting speaking to you, and I have to confess, you made me use my brain. I knew I was talking to a testosterone gentleman here, but they had a lot of knowledge, and I had to do some thinking. God had to put some thoughts in my head to talk to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I appreciate being on the show.
You took me through the ringer. And I want to tell Mr. Grace to let you guys know when I get my streaming app up. I'd like to have you on one of my shows, on one of my programs. It's a streaming app. And one will be gospel, or you know what you say, Christian. But they'll have, the other one will be, I call it Popery People, Discover Yourself. And it'll be for all races and all different kinds of talents. But that'll be the second one. The music will be good music, you know, good uplifting music as well. So that'll be the second one. But I want to say,
we are
you guys, go ahead. He's moved on to the next one. He's keeping me on time. I'll let him tell you that.
Okay,
Myron, take it away.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net. We are listening to...
Hello and welcome again. I'm looking for Miss D. Marie Dumas, if she's available. Miss Dumas, author?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you. The reason I'm not introducing you fully is because I can't see it. Can you introduce me about your book and what you're going on? And I'd like to ask you some questions. If that's possible, we can do this wonderful thing. Thank you so much for coming with us today with Screenwork Entertainment. And we're going to be with you for about 20, 25 minutes. So tell me a little bit about what your book is about, and I think you are, go ahead, if you can hear me okay.
Thanks. Yep, it's cutting out a little bit, but I can hear you okay. I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for having me on your show. I truly appreciate it. My book is called It's Not Just for Stoners, Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Cannabis But Were Afraid to Ask, and it's an informational book on the medicinal uses of cannabis.
Yes, now we're talking. Yeah, I've been looking for you all night, wondering where you were. Yes,
they told me it was 9:45, and I logged in at 9:45, but nothing happened. So,
I know. I had it wasn't us. It was the internet doing that to us.
Right.
Go ahead. Let's talk. It's not for stoners. It's not just for stoners. I've heard good things about cannabis and about the health benefits as well. So tell me what you've learned.
Oh, gosh, I'm not even sure where to begin. It treats so many different illnesses, from fibromyalgia to Alzheimer's, diabetes, post-traumatic stress syndrome, epilepsy, various ailments.
Tell me about diabetes.
Diabetes, the details of it, it would be easier to read the book because it's very, very detailed and very, very technical. It's filled with information that I've gleaned from various doctors and research and things of that nature. So it's pretty pretty laid out in each chapter.
Right. Have you adopted it for your special illness, or what do you have that you like to use it for?
Well, actually, I was never a cannabis advocate because I always had a negative view of cannabis growing up. Whenever I would hear the word weed, all I could think of is some stoner just sitting around getting high and not doing anything productive with his life. So it was just, and I was never prone to drug use. But when I'm a breast cancer survivor, And yeah. as a result of having cancer, the meds that they had me on gave me such terrible side effects that a friend of mine recommended cannabis. And I said, well, no, I can't smoke weed. That's just not my thing. I've just never been that type of person. They said, well, no, you don't have to smoke. There's all different types of ways you can consume mm-hmm. cannabis. There are cookies. There are beverages. There are oils. So then I started to research. And when I began to research, I came across so much information that I decided to put it into a book because I wanted to help end many of the negative stereotypes that are associated with cannabis use.
Yes. Is this your? Have you written other books? This is an informational book, but are you a general author always as well?
No, this is my first book. By trade, I'm an office manager for a construction company, and I'm also a licensed realtor. This is my very first book.
Yeah, you're a busy person. I've been that route earlier in my life. you know what I mean? Administration, yes. Well, this is wonderful. Do you think you have a passion to do some more writing, maybe in other fields?
I will do some more writing, that is for sure. And I never really considered myself a writer until I started writing. And I've done a few little articles just of a personal nature that but nothing that was ever published. But I've learned about myself that I'm pretty good at expressing my thoughts pen to paper.
Oh.
And I didn't realize it until I started doing it. And several people told me over there, you should write a book. It's like, no, I'm not a book writer. It's like, no, we love the way you write and blah, 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 and the way you articulate yourself and da, da, da. But still, it just went in one ear and out the other until I started my research on cannabis. And then I started writing. And that gave me the inspiration to say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to write some more in the future.
And have you found that there's more information out there like what you have? Or are you one of the first, you think, to write
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm the first, but I think I might be one of the first in that area because I haven't come across, while I hear a lot about cannabis on the internet and whatnot, but information compiled in one book, I hadn't come up to my knowledge.
So you had to do your passion because if you don't do it, it won't get done. That's what Benjamin Hall says. And you did
yep.
it. Well, what would you think it's going to lead you in a direction, of course, but what would you think would be your next thing, passion to do, in addition to your busy life you already have?
Well, my next book will be more of a personal nature. This book is more informational not so much instructional, but informational, like I said, about the various illnesses that cannabis can treat. But the next one, I think, is going to be more of a personal nature of my journey through Christianity and spirituality in general, and it's going to be called Making My Way Black Home.
Back home, you say?
No, black, like the color.
Oh, Making My Way Black Home, H-A-H-O-M-E.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. And
thank you.
I have a question to ask you because I don't have the notes in front of me. That was my fault tonight because of the phone acting up a little bit. What is your favorite purpose? What do you like to do? What do you
like to do?
But do you do a lot of different kinds of things? Like to travel. Oh, wonderful.
I haven't traveled a lot since COVID, but obviously. But mm-hmm. before then, I like taking off. While I love the company of my friends, but many times over the years before COVID, if I was able to, I would just take off and fly to a city I've never been before. I've never feared traveling alone.
Yeah. I've heard of people that do that. And I don't know why, not about me, but I don't like to travel. I like to be at home. And that
I can understand that.
I write so much. I'm like you. I'm from an administrative background. And mm-hmm. I just always had to write because the people that I worked for didn't write. They just signed and made more money than I did. But now that you're there, I know that – can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Sometimes it's fine. I get too close to it. Would you like the back home part? How did that part of the title come out? What was that about?
Well, actually, I have been –
Black home, yeah.
I decided to call it Black Home because some years ago I just started, I'm trying to think of a short way to put this. I wanted to become more African conscious. You know how some people, non-blacks, they can tell you where their ancestors came from. Well, my parents, they came over here from Ireland as immigrants, or they came from Vietnam, or they came from Italy. But black folks, all we know is that we came over here on slave ships. And our history goes back so much further than slavery. Mm-hmm. So I started digging in that.
Yeah,
and that began, you know, my spiritual journey, just wanting to just embrace my blackness as opposed to the self-hatred that we've subconsciously been, you know, trained to accept.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, one day I think I'm going to sit down and write a book about that.
Yeah, I have that same problem. I don't know anything about myself that way. I do a lot of different things, but I don't know where I come from. You know what I'm saying, originally.
Mm-hmm.
So cholesterol at a certain age, everybody has
right. That.
Can't figure that out, so I decided to eat raw. One of my friends, I won't go into mine, but when I do my book, it'll be about that.
Oh, wonderful.
Would you like to tell me if you'd like to do a show one of these days on the mass media?
Sure.
Radio and television. Would you be able to be interviewed by Oprah?
Gosh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, she knows so many things about different stuff. Okay, have you ever thought about doing any radio or television, mass media, with your life that you have?
I would love to do that. Come across the right connections, but I would love to do that. It hadn't really occurred to me until I started writing, but yeah, several people have mentioned that to me, and if the opportunity came my way, I would take it.
Well, you're talking to the right man, Myron Grace. He can make that happen. Yes, he can make it happen. He's past media, you know, and So think about that, because you sound like you can handle it, because you think on your feet. And you got to be able to talk and ask questions just from the top of your head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me something that you would like to do that you've never done.
I'm considering parachute jumping, but in tandem with a guide, not by myself. But I would like to try that once in my life.
Parachute. Bless your heart. I'd like to hear about That would be wonderful. Well, tell me something about what you do with exercise-wise. Do you do any exercises, or are you adding a couch potato? What do you do?
Well, because of my because I'm in an administrative position, I'm seated at my desk most of the time. So what I do, I just make myself every hour and a half, I get up and I put on my Fitbit. I keep my Fitbit on, and I'll walk our building until I get 500 steps in about 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go up and down the stairs and whatnot, and then I have my little home.
How many steps? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I have a little gym at home. I've got my free weights and a bench that I work out on, since I'm not comfortable going back to the gym yet, so I have my little routine that I do at home.
Tell me more. Because I need to be knowing that, because I've been sedentary all my life, and it's just when I first started out of high school working for a lawyer. I mean, that's all I've ever done. And then I got into mass media since 1976, and then that's all I've ever done now. So tell me about the exercise, and I'm going to write it down and get started, because I don't exercise at all.
Well, movement, oh my gosh, movement. It's extremely important. You have to just make yourself get up every hour. You can, if you don't have a Fitbit, you can just set an alarm on your phone that'll go off every hour and just get some steps in. Moving is very, very, very good. It doesn't have to be. A lot of times people are turned off by exercise because they think of, you know, PX, those PX90s and insanity workouts, and it doesn't have to be back-breaking. But just general movement all throughout the day is good, just a little bit at a time. Just think, if you walk only 1 mile every day, at the end of a year, you will have walked 365 miles.
Right, right. I started outside in the driveway, and that was fun when the weather was right. You know, last year or something like that. But then you said something about that little thing that you wear on your arm. What is that called again?
Fitbit. It takes your heart rate. They have so many different types of watches. I have the little simple one.
And you call it Fitbit.
Yep, your heart rate.
Okay. That's wonderful. And are you any special kind of eater?
No, I just try to. I do like my sweets, but I try not to eat too much junk. And I try to.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little chart that shows foods that are more alkaline than acidic. So I try to just keep myself, you know, pretty balanced. I'm not a health nut when it comes to my diet, but I do try to watch what I eat.
Wonderful. Do you have any children? Well, I don't need to ask that. That's your business. Let's see. But I did want to recognize your family as well.
No problem. I just have fur babies.
Yes, yes. Is that a dog or cat?
Cats. I used to have dogs. I have cats now.
Is it a white one or the yellow one? Cat.
One cat, she's multicolored. She's a Norwegian forest cat, and the other one is a fuzzy white and tan Himalayan. A Himalayan is a mix between a Siamese and a Persian. You know, the Siamese, they have chocolate markings on the ear and their tails,
mm-hmm.
and the Persians have the really long hair, so she's like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know you just have a good around them, but when I'm around them, I was taking piano lessons. Lady had a beautiful white cat, and then I started itching. I said, no more piano lessons. And I don't know why. Like that. And I had a little white dog almost beating to death trying to train him, so I let him go. So I guess I'm just a piano keys and a typewriter. Good. Okay, what do you like to do in your spare time when you're not, if you ever have any, I know that's busy. What do you like to do in your spare time that you don't train for, you just have a natural tendency to do it?
I like reading and I like walking, and I'm going to get back to traveling since the COVID restrictions have kind of lifted. So as soon as I get a few more dollars in my pocket, I'll probably start traveling again a little bit. But as far as just ordinary things, I like walking and I like riding my bike.
Oh, wonderful, the bike. Yeah, that's something I used to do. Oh, my goodness, time is getting close. Let's see. Let me go. What would you like to talk about that I haven't talked about? We'll do that. Let you ask the question. Answer the question. What would you like to talk about?
Well, the first thing I wanted to know when it comes to my book is that I didn't write the book as an encouragement to start smoking weed, but I wrote the book for informational purposes because I found out that cannabis does really have some miraculous properties to it and how it can be a good substitute. And I wouldn't recommend that anybody stop taking, if you're under a doctor's care, do not stop taking whatever meds are prescribed. However, I have learned that unfortunately with the pharmaceuticals and the man-made medicines, they will rid you of one problem but give you another one because it's not natural, it's synthetic. And that is one of the wonderful things about cannabis is that it does not have any of the side effects that man-made pharmaceuticals have. So my main thing is that I want people to have an open mind when it comes to cannabis and not automatically judge and not allow their minds to fall into the stereotype. Because like I said, typically when people think of weed smokers, they just think people sitting around smoking and getting high all day. And it's like, no, not every cannabis consumer is like that. I know cannabis consumers that are doctors, lawyers, nurses, architects. You know, intelligent people, productive members of society, and not everyone takes it to get high. Some people really do use it for medicinal purposes, and that's what I use it for. It's strictly medicinal because the meds that they had me on gave me such severe side effects that it sent me into early menopause, and I was sleep deprived for several months straight.
Bless your heart.
And it was horrific, and that's when someone tried cannabis. Like, well, no, I don't want to smoke, and blah 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 blah. And when I found out there were different ways to consume it, then I tried it, and it was the first night in 3 months that I had a solid night's sleep. I thought I had experienced a miracle. It was amazing.
Oh yes,
and that's what made me start researching and writing.
Okay, and is that the way? Give me one of the unique ways that we can take it if we were trying to get started on something. If a person's trying to get started, they can read about it because there's so many ways. I guess that's the best way. That you thought, well, that does that. I didn't know that.
The oil works for me.
The oil, okay. Yes,
right,
yes,
it's just a few drops,
yes.
And so you don't have to deal with the nasty smell of the smoke. And although some people like the smell of the smoke, some people like the taste, but you don't necessarily have to go that way. There are cookies, candies, there's honey, peanut butter.
Oh.
There are sites where people have recipes for all different types of dishes. I mean, the industry is exploding.
That's
for recreational purposes. Yeah.
Yes,
but
yes,
I think that's a lot of time for people that just want to try different things. But as far as medicinally, like I said, you can do the beverages, you can do a few drops of oil, just whatever works for you, and you take just a very, very tiny, tiny amount because you have to know, understand your makeup and your metabolism. Like one person
right.
can eat an entire piece of infused cake, and another person, like me, can only eat maybe a thumb-sized piece because my tolerance is low, and that's all I need for me to sleep.
Yeah. Bless your heart.
Yes.
Bless your heart.
It's everything you've always wanted to know about cannabis, but we're afraid to ask. It's not just for stoners, and it can be purchased on my website. I have my own website, and it's called notjustforstoners.com, and you can buy it directly from there if you want. It's also on Amazon, but Amazon, they can be a little greedy when it comes to authors' books, and they'll take most of your money. So I decided to build my site so I could keep a little bit of the proceeds.
Yes, that's wonderful. I like that too. And is there any, did I ask you about giving advice or like words of wisdom to the listening audience?
Well, my word of wisdom is that if you are not a cannabis consumer, when you know of people that do, just try not to judge them because not all consumers are the same. And to open your mind about it and to realize the fact that it really is medicinal. And then not everyone uses it to get high. And if you are under a doctor's care and you are looking for alternatives, then consult with your doctor about it. And if he or she does recommend it, you just want to start very, very slowly until you learn what your dosage is.
Right.
So you learn
right.
what you can handle. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And we're going to try to keep you in mind, and maybe you can come to Cleveland for a book signing with us sometimes. Maybe Myron can bring you back.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. That would be good. Okay, Mr. Myron, take it away.
Thank you, Ms. Sharp.
Thank you. I'm not sure if the other lady is here or not.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland's Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
If the midnight sky and the stars were mine, from the rolling sea to the mountain side, if I owned the world and if I could choose, I would